Welcome to Walking with God, Pat Barry and Jeff Quinto's podcast, where Pat and Jeff talk about their walk with Christ.
My name is Pat Barry.
And my name is Jeff Quinto. And Pat and I get together about every 2 weeks, and we talk about our walk with God.
I have a question this week we can ponder. Everybody can ponder this. What are Christian ethics in life and in business?
Ah, in life and business. Are they two separate things, you think?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, they're kind of one thing, aren't they? The one thing. We should be the same at all times. Looking at the scriptures, we start with two specific scriptures. Starting in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible, Leviticus, one of the five books of the Pentateuch, the third one, and here we have it, Leviticus 19:18, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We remember that as the golden rule, don't we?
Absolutely.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yes.
There we have that one. And we also have this from Philippians. Paul tells us, Philippians 2:3-4, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. What's that about in business, do you think?
Love your neighbor as yourself. So just treat others as you'd like to be treated.
Yeah. Now, is business run like that everywhere, would you say?
No. No, it isn't. But it should be.
Yeah, it should be. And good things would happen if it was, wouldn't it?
It would.
Yeah. But here we are. We're in a fallen world filled with fallen people, starting with me. And we need to be reminded of these things. We need to be reminded that we're meant to be our brother's keeper, actually. We're meant to look out for others. We're meant to look out for others following this golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Not out of selfish motives, as we learn here from Philippians, but in fact, looking out for other people. Do you think if we look out for other people in business, do you think we're going to do okay? What do you think?
Yes, long term we will. Short term, not necessarily, because that may mean doing things that are detrimental to us, to our business, giving up something, maybe not making as much money or even taking a loss on something, but it might be the right thing to do. And so as difficult as that is, because as you said, we're broken people in a broken world, we are ultimately just absorbed with our own self-interests, and it's difficult to do sometimes. But if you do the right thing, take care of others, long-term, you are going to be fine, I believe. But maybe short-term, there might be some pain.
Yeah. I've seen it in action, actually, in a number of places. Two that come most to mind relate to the investment business, and they relate to two people that I worked closely with and that who were phenomenally successful. I mean, world-class successful. And one of them, whose name is Bill Dunn, used to give presentations on his investments. He spent so much time speaking about what could go wrong as we were in front of potentially big institutional clients, and I would just, my head would spin. I'd think, Bill, give it a break. You said enough already. They understand the risk. They're professionals. But, you know, it was so important to him that people understand not just the good and the potential of his investment, but also what could go wrong.
Absolutely.
Because he was looking out for them.
Yes.
And I contend he was looking out for himself in the long run, because if something did go wrong, he could say honestly, you know, I told you that, and I told you that repeatedly. That was one example. Another example is somebody by the name of Monroe Trout. The same thing, so completely, utterly honest in everything that sometimes you just shrug your shoulders and think, geez, you know, give it a break for a minute. But they never did. And they never did because it was so important to be ethical and honest in every way, even to their own detriment.
I think that's something that in modern times is missing. It seems like with each passing year, ethics are getting more and more questionable, shall we say, and that the only purpose of business is to make money. Well, you know what? If that's the only purpose of business, there are illegal ventures you can get into if that's what you want to do. But business is much more than that. It's about, you know, obviously providing a goods or a service to a market that needs it, and doing it in a manner where you're not only supplying something good, but you're making money in the process. But when making money becomes the only reason that you're doing something, then I think problems start to creep in, because you're putting money first ahead of God. You're putting money first ahead of what should be first and the reason that we're all here in the first place. You know, I'm sure you've had these conversations too with people. Believe it or not, Jeff, I know you're going to find this hard to believe. He's smiling at me right now. I make mistakes.
No.
I know.
Say it ain't so.
I know. I do. And occasionally I will make a mistake in business where something, you know, maybe I'll get someone the wrong price, or, you know, something isn't quite as it should be. So I've had these sorts of dilemmas in the past. And, you know, you do the right thing. Here's what I discovered. If you go to your customer and you're honest and upfront about, hey, I made a mistake, here's what we're going to do to make it right. Oftentimes, like if it's the wrong quoted price because you had the wrong cost coming in, you explain that to a customer. More times than not, they're very understanding. So that's another thing too. I think what maybe prevents some people from doing this is, oh, how's my customer going to react? I guarantee if you're upfront and honest and just know that here's what I have to do, you're gonna keep that customer. And the other thing you do is you form a bond of trust with that customer when you admit wrong and here's what I'm going to do to make it right. So again, short term, there might be pain, but long term, you're building trust. You're building a relationship with that customer, and you're taking care of them the way you should take care of them.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. It builds long-term relationships. It may hurt short-term, but long-term relationships, and those are the ones where the money's really made. It's where you have a real business. It's not just about coming up with some clever idea that works for a moment. It's about a long-term relationship is where real money is made and kept, and it's what you have to do.
Yeah.
And also you get to sleep at night. You get to feel good about yourself. There's a lot that's good in that, isn't there?
There is. And that's, you know, I think every person knows and understands instinctively, whether you're a Christian or not, I think people understand doing the right thing, you know. And to your point, I've known some people that have problems sleeping at night, you know, and it could be somewhat ethically challenged, because I'm trying to be kind.
You're being kind. That's
I'm
nice.
Trying to be kind.
Nice,
but nice it does, because I think every human being knows what's right and what's wrong. And really, we're just suggesting that you do the right thing.
Yeah, that you do the right thing and you'll benefit in the end. And that's the important thing. And you get to feel good about what you're doing. You don't have to hide anything. You don't have to wonder what you told one person versus another, because you told everybody you came in contact with the truth. It's just it's a great thing.
You know, something else, it will prove to be good in the end. Sometimes you can grow the business astronomically. Now, don't, I want to be careful about this, because I'm not a prosperity gospel guy. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. But there are examples, and one that you and I have talked about in the past, because it was a great book on the Guinness family. Yeah. The book is The Search for God in Guinness, and it is about the Guinness beer company. I never realized that they were a Christian family. And when you read the book, what they did was, especially for the time, was just amazing. But they took care of their employees very well. They did things that you would want to do as a business owner. They kept growing, and they were wildly successful over time. We're not saying that's going to happen, because there aren't a lot of Guinness-type companies in the world. Not, you know, but there's a lot of small mom and pop businesses, or, you know, even if you work for a multinational corporation, you know, just to have influence in your part of the business can be a huge, huge thing.
Yeah. And the thing that I got out of the Search for God and Guinness was how extraordinary the original, the patriarch of all this, Arthur Guinness, was in taking care and honestly caring about his employees in a time when nobody cared about employees. They didn't care in that time, and then actually pre-industrial revolution, they didn't actually care about what happened to people or how they lived or anything. What they cared about was if they showed up and if they did their work. There was no consideration for more than that. And he did. He played out his Christian values in the way he treated people. And he did things, some of the things you'll think of some too, Pat, but a couple that come to mind for me is they had a doctor on staff.
Yeah.
There was no, poor people didn't get to have doctors in the world of that time, the world in England of that time. And yet they had a company doctor who would actually make house calls to people in these horrible tenements where the people lived. And talking about horrible tenements, they built housing for their employees. People were mobbing to try to get to work for Guinness because it was so different. And what happened for Guinness? Did they get hurt by spending all this money on their employees? Did they go backwards? No, they went forwards. They became the predominant maker of beer in their time.
Yes.
And the interesting thing about them that I find is so wonderful is that they were Christians then, starting in about 1765, I believe. It goes on to today, the philanthropy that he started, incredible philanthropy, fueled by this great amount of money that they accumulated, continues to today. Now, Guinness isn't owned by the Guinness family anymore. They sold out, but their philanthropies continue through the Guinness family. They're missionaries throughout history, throughout this 250 years, they've been missionaries. They've done all kinds of things that you wouldn't have had to do. And it's all guided by their Christianity. And yet they've done so well themselves.
Yes. They have a comfortable existence. Some people may know the name Oz Guinness. He's a famous Christian apologist. That is the Guinness family. There is another story where one of the Guinness sons got married. You probably remember this. And he got the equivalent in today's money of, was it $30
million? $30 million in today's money.
As a wedding gift, $30 million, okay? Now, I just want those that are listening, can you imagine this, something like this today? So the man gets married, he gets his $30 million gift, he and his bride move into the tenements amongst the Guinness employees to serve as missionaries to their employees and to bring Christ to their employees. Stephen Mansfield, who wrote the article, got into a taxi cab in Dublin, and he started talking to the cab driver that he was writing a book on the Guinness family. And the cab driver related a story to him. He said the Guinness family is why he is here today, because it was either his great-grandfather who was working in the factory at the time and suffered a severe leg injury where he was basically bleeding out. And this was in the early 1900s when first aid was unheard of. But what the Guinness family had done is they trained all their factory workers on first aid. So if anyone got injured, they could render first aid. And that guy's life was saved because of what the owners did. And so his family line is still around. And it's things like even today, I don't know that sort of thing is available in a lot of factories. Not like it is or was at that time. It really is amazing.
Yeah. It's amazing to me. As I read this, I thought, golly, you know, they kept giving away money. They kept doing extraordinary things, and they got richer. So once again, as Pat said a minute ago, we're not promoting the prosperity gospel, as if you do one thing and God is going to give you money. It just turns out that in this case, these people were wonderful in the world, and they benefited. And there's a lot in Scripture that actually speaks to that. It doesn't speak to it in the way that the prosperity gospel says, but it speaks to it in the way that God is watching, and that all everything that we do, we will be held to account, both the good and the bad. And the fact is that in this life, when we are doing good in the world, good tends to come to us.
Right. Well, and I think you can't do it as, what would the word be, sort of a marketing plan.
Your personal marketing plan?
Right. I mean, you can't say, oh, hey, I'm a Christian, so do business with me. That can't be the reason. And, you know, but God knows your heart. And I think part of this comes back, actually not part of it, I think all of it comes back to, you know, as a Christian, as a person, as a business person, do you actually believe what's written in the Bible? Do you actually believe it? Do you actually live it? And I think that's the difference with prosperity gospel. It's just do this and you'll reap that. No. Do you actually, that's not the reason. If you actually believe, hey, the reason I'm here is to take care of my fellow man. Essentially, that's what it comes down to for each and every one of us. However it is, whatever gifts God gave us to take care of each other. And if you're doing that for the right reason, because, hey, that's why I'm on this earth. I'm not on this earth to sell things or to make beer or to do whatever. We're on this earth to take care of our fellow human beings. And if you use your business to do that, you're going to come out in the plus column. You may not come out in the plus column like the Guinness family came out in the plus column. Again, there's not a whole lot of those out there. There just aren't. But ultimately, you know, I truly believe you will be taken care of. And just because no one sees you do something, it doesn't mean God didn't see it. God sees everything.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that I remind myself literally daily is to be the same when I'm alone as when my every deed is known. A line from a poem that we've used before, but that's what we're meant to do. We're meant to live to a higher calling, to live to a calling that isn't just what people think of us when they can see us, but what God thinks of us when no one can see us.
Right.
That's really the important thing. As we circle back to Christian ethics, it seems to me that that's really what this is about. This is about taking care of other people. It's about doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, the golden rule. It's all of that, and it's a healthy thing to do because it benefits us. We have a peaceful life. We may not, as you just said, we may not end up having wealth for generations like the Guinness family. We might instead make a small difference in a few people's lives that makes a great difference in time.
Right.
So that's what we're meant to do. You know, Pat and I started this project with a quote from C.S. Lewis. Our quote from C.S. Lewis is, "Christianity, if false, is of no consequence, and if true, is of infinite consequence. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important." That's really the truth. Both Pat and I agree that Christianity, if it's false, is of no importance whatsoever, but if it is true, it's of infinite importance. The only thing it can't be is moderately important. So we are all in for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you are. We pray that if you are not today all in for the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will join us in working your way toward that, because it is a beautiful life. It is a beautiful life that leads to a beautiful eternity. I pray that you will join us in that. And will you join me in prayer now? Lord, we thank you for these ideas that are so countercultural and so unselfish and end up benefiting us. It's an oxymoron in a way, of starting with the idea that we're out for ourselves and ending up with do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Lord, may we do that. May we live by your golden rule in Jesus' holy and mighty, mighty name. Amen.
Amen.